is by going to our Auburn Bank phone line and bringing on a friend of the program, none other than Jonathan Hoppe from WTVM News Leader 9, kind enough to join us on today's show. Hoppe, my friend, how are things going in your world?
Hey, guys. Things are going well. We had football this weekend, so I was putting together my shows thinking, hey, this is a little bit more fun than usual, and maybe the reason why is because we're talking about SEC football. We love all the other stuff, too, but definitely a special weekend, and hey, now it just goes away for a few months, right?
Absolutely. No, you're right. It's all excitement. The same thing goes in July with SEC Media Days. We get so fired up. We get so excited the week that we spend in Birmingham, Atlanta, Nashville, wherever it may be that year, and then, wait a minute, we look at our calendar, and we still got a ways to go before football is played. So that's tough. So, Hoppe, just to remind our listeners a little bit about your background, right? North Carolina native, go to school at Syracuse. Your first full year here covering the SEC. They're out of Columbus with Auburn and Alabama and Georgia. What expectations did you have going into Saturday with your feet on the ground there at JHS, also knowing there's also this pandemic that's been happening and capacity's not at full go 100%. So what kind of expectations did you have, Hoppe, going into this?
Well, it's great to see fans back. That's the expectation, is to try to get the fans back. 40% capacity, we'll take it. But, of course, we're all hoping to be up toward 100% come fall. A lot has to happen until then. But coming down here, I hadn't really kept my fingers as closely on the SEC as I had the ACC for years. One thing that really sticks out, the SEC spring games are a way bigger deal. They're televised. There's the Syracuse spring game, you couldn't even find it on TV. I could never exactly figure that one out. And surely they're not a powerhouse. They used to be, but they're far from it now. So that was the expectation. And man, have I felt that. I just can't wait this year to really get my hands around all these programs, specifically Auburn. And with the new coach coming in, I feel like I know a lot about this program now, because as you and everyone else who's covered the team for many years, it's a change. We're seeing a lot of things now that we did not see before. There's some things that remain, but I'm excited for this new chapter because I can sort of be with it this year. And it got started last weekend.
A wonderful perspective that you have there. You're exactly right. A new coach comes in. It's the best time to have your first year as a reporter going into your first full season of SEC football. Hoppe, give Tom and I a little bit more really quickly, because we're always intrigued, but we're college football junkies. I want a little bit more on what's the talk of the town, say, in Syracuse when it comes to spring football. Like, is this an event that people know takes place every year? You mentioned a lack of television coverage, but is that the talk of the town, or there are 1,800 other things going on and they don't care?
Right. Is there even a talk? I guess that's the question that I would pose. And that's coming from someone who is football-minded. Up in Syracuse, it's basketball, and they fit right in with the ACC. But when it comes to football, it is so secondary, it's not even funny. You think basketball is a big deal around here, and it is now with Bruce Pearl and everything he's done. Those people are eaten up with basketball. And football for them is simply secondary. And by the second game or so, hey, well, basketball season's close by. The spring game really does not get any attention at all. Some people can go, I think, in a normal situation. They've had people inside the dome before, but yeah, spring, not nearly as big of a deal. When the Auburn spring practice started up down here, it's like, hey, first day of spring, let's put this on TV, let's talk about it. Today is the final practice, so I'm milking as much as I can coming up tonight on News Leader 9, because that's what we do, right? Can we talk football? Yep, that's the lead. Put that in there. Give me Brian Harsin. Let's see what happens next.
There you go. Jonathan, just kind of your takeaways from some of the stuff that you saw out there with the team. Obviously, you know, it's still kind of a new deal with you, but I mean, there had to be some things that you saw with that team that kind of stuck out to you in the A-Day, for what little bit you can tell from an A-Day game anyway.
Yeah, I think the offense is certainly going to be a work in progress. I'm not overreacting like a lot of people are. I've heard from some different people saying, hey, this is not going to be a strong season. Way too early to say that. Way too early. But these young receivers, they're going to have work to do. And Harsin's even said that. This is a much different unit. This is a much different scheme than what they played last year. So just getting used to playing with that tight end and getting used to being the number one receiver, a guy like Elijah Kenyon, he looked good, right? Makes that touchdown grab. Well, what can he do over the course of the year? They're really going to have to hone in on that this summer. And when you throw in what Bo Nix is learning in the scheme as well, also getting used to some new receivers, it could be challenging. So that's definitely what I'm watching. I'm really not worried about the defense at all. I think that's a pretty common take right now, and understandably so. They're flying around, making big plays. But this offense, guys, I don't want to say I'm worried, because how could you be after the spring game, which in reality doesn't mean a lot? But they certainly do have a lot of work to do over the summer gearing up for next season.
No doubt about that. Jonathan Hoppe from WTVM is joining us on the program right now. Follow him on Twitter at JAHOP23. So, Hoppe, we talk about that offense. We knew going into it, right, that if you just had to guess, the defense was going to be ahead of the offense with the scheme change, new coordinators coming in, Bo Nix with a lot more under-center action and that sort of thing. So that was no surprise to us that we actually saw it take place and saw the offense a little bit behind. The whole deal with spring games, though, you know, if the offense had scored 80 points, well, what's wrong with your defense? How do you win an A game? And I don't know anybody that could find an answer for me.
No, I think you win by producing as many highlights as possible. And for someone that's in the TV business, there weren't a ton from that game. You get back and you're like, all right, let's put the Tank Bigsby run. And yeah, we can't really do that thing that happened at the beginning because it didn't count. But there weren't many plays to choose from, so I almost threw that in there and say, hey, this happened but didn't count. But no, you had a couple of defensive plays, so the defense really... That's why so many people are talking about them, I think, because they had so many big plays made in that game when you factor in the strip and Smoke Monday. Basically, anything he does is a highlight just because he gets up and really makes you lets you know that he made a play.
For sure. Awesome. Swaggiest player exactly. On the field all the time.
Oh, no doubt. And then he showed out, of course, in his post-game press conference. The framing was pretty bad, not going to lie, from the university, so it was pretty tough to use. But, yeah, he was having a good time. You can't be worried about him. But highlights. And really, fans shouldn't feel bad because there weren't a ton from the Bama game. Georgia had a few. JT Daniels, man, does he look pretty solid, I got to say. That could be that's what I said. Hey, don't worry, Georgia fans. JT Daniels will be your starter. They're not going to mess this one up like they did last year. But so not a ton of highlights to go around. So they shouldn't feel left out in that way.
Well, Jonathan, obviously there's not a lot that you can really take away from the play on the field, but I was going to ask you, after the game, your interactions with Coach Brian Harsin, how impressive is he to you as far as the information that he gives, his knowledge, how he is with the media? What are your takeaways from Coach Harsin?
So when he first arrived, the report on him was that he wasn't very good with the media. That's at least what I was hearing. And that could not be further from the truth. In fact, he goes on and on and on. So I would say he's been great to work with.
Aren't you glad you're not in the print business?
Huh? Yeah.
Having to transcribe all that?
Exactly. So it makes it easier for me because odds are that the more you talk, the better sound you're going to give. So he gives pretty good sound. He's not the most energetic. He's pretty black and white. He's pretty vanilla when it comes to what he's saying, but that's a dream in terms of interpreting what he's saying when it comes to football. So I definitely like what I hear from him. As he said on day one, that fourth and one mentality, that's kind of how he is in these press conferences. He brings it. He pays very close attention to detail. And that's something that I think will translate to the field. But, yeah, no complaints on my end. Everything I've read and seen has been pretty positive in terms of his interactions. And also, let's not forget, they invited cameras, reporters, everybody out to a practice at Jordan-Hare about a month ago. It was the first big practice that they were doing in the stadium. And they opened it up to fans, but they also let the media in. And we know right now with how these programs are, that's not a given, right? They let us come in and shoot A Day, and we're hoping to be as close to the team as possible when the season opens up. So yeah, it's funny you asked that because he's certainly on my good list in terms of coaches right now, pretty much for that reason alone, but his content's pretty good as well.
It's Jonathan Hoppe from WTVM News Leader 9 joining us here on the program. He was on the ground there inside Jordan-Hare Stadium for A-Day this past weekend. But enough Auburn talk. We want to talk some more sports regionally in the area and that sort of thing. Tom Peavy, my co-host, a native of Columbus, Georgia.
That's right.
So we'll get into a couple of other topics in just a moment. I want to go here, though, Hoppe, because we're scrolling through your timeline. Again, I want people to go follow him at JAHop23. And our conversation a week ago today is one that you detailed very well in a package that you did for WTVM, where Alec Baum still has not touched home from last week's Sunday night baseball game. That was the talk of the town a week ago, and man, we're Braves country through and through here. It still hurts.
The Braves are all over Sunday night baseball, by the way.
Yeah.
Did you know, after last night, they are back on against the Phillies next month?
Yeah.
So I'm sure that will be the headline as the game opens, and who knows how many more times they'll get picked up. I don't mind it, but I'm sure the rest of the country's like, hey, that Dodgers-Padres game yesterday, maybe we could have seen that one.
Sure.
But that was egregious, of course. It's good to see that the Braves have bounced back, take two of three against the Cubs, especially after you get blitzed in game two to turn around last night and give it to them. But that's one of the worst plays, one of the worst calls you'll ever see.
Yeah.
And the frustrating part is MLB replay specifically has been so bad since it started a few years ago. All the replay, NFL seems to do it pretty good, I guess because they can just go to commercial and you don't even realize that it's happening. But the MLB replay has been so bad, and especially after you take away the All-Star game from the Braves, and that's a whole nother topic.
Yeah.
But it just felt like the team was getting punished by the MLB for some reason, and I don't know how they missed that call. I really don't.
Well, Jonathan, as JJ alluded to, yeah, I'm a Columbus native. Have grown up in Columbus. Have always been a fan of WTVM. Dave Plata. I guess I'm showing my age because I remember Dave Plata when I was a kid.
Yeah, he's still here.
Still,
he's as fresh as ever.
There you go. Well, and coming from Columbus, I was a huge fan of all the sports teams there in Columbus, a huge fan of the Columbus Cottonmouths hockey team back then. Now it's the Columbus River Dragons. Now, were you in the arena when this happened? I know you posted about it, but 7 goals in one period in an 11-5 win over Port Huron. Oh, my gosh. What in the world happened with
hockey,
that?
Minor league hockey, you never know what's going to happen.
Well, you can guarantee there's going to be fights in minor league hockey. I don't think I've been to a single minor league hockey game in Columbus where there weren't about 7 fights. But, wow, 7 goals in one period. That's pretty impressive.
That team is they're making some noise. How about this? They're the top seed in the FBHL playoffs. Well, that's kind of misleading because there's only 4 teams, and 2 teams make the playoffs and they go to the finals. But we'll give them credit. I was not there. Dave was shooting that.
Okay.
I was anchoring. So he was out there, and yeah, he stayed for the whole game. We typically will dart after a period or two, depending on what we have. And he certainly had enough to fill what we needed, but he wanted to stay because he wasn't sure what else was going to happen. How could you leave that game? They might have scored 20 goals. Obviously, you slow down. That's just how things work, law of averages, whatever. But they look good, and they'll play this weekend and next weekend to win the FPHL Ignite Sports Cup, they're calling it. So they're in Elmira this weekend, and then they'll be back here in Columbus for games 3 and 4 and 5 if necessary.
Okay.
They've been fun. You know, it's minor league hockey. It's guys that work second jobs. It's guys that are trying to leave the area. It's guys that are trying to move up, and it's good to see them come together as a team because so many times that formula just doesn't work for whatever reason.
Yeah, and it's fun. Like I said, me going to several River Dragons games over there, it's a fun time. And so for any of our listeners to get a chance, go out and support those teams over there in Columbus. It's not that far of a drive to go over there and check them out. And now you got baseball getting ready, the Chattahoots. The Columbus Chattahoots baseball going to crank up. So, yeah, Jonathan, I'm glad to hear that. And I might try to get over there and catch me a river dragon. Catch me some river dragons coming up in the weekend.
I was told they used to be packed before the pandemic last year when things were getting started. And you get chills at a hockey game even when there's only 15% fans.
Yeah.
And that goal horn goes off and the song, and especially – can't imagine the kind of chills you'd get on the seventh goal of the first period, but hopefully they can get that place packed up next year too.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that city tends to like hockey, because back in the heyday of the Columbus Cottonmouths, I mean, that place was packed and it was rambunctious, and the games I've gone to watch River Dragons have been really good crowds. Obviously that was pre-COVID, but yeah, man, hockey's exciting.
It is.
Hockey's exciting to watch in person.
I would say this, and I have no reason to say this, right? Surely I'm getting paid to work here in Columbus, but I wouldn't say this if I didn't have to. The sports history in this town is very rich.
Yeah.
And it's something that's underrated, I think, in the region. There's a lot of people that have come through here. Obviously, Frank Thomas and Tim Hudson and all those names that we're familiar with, but you know, you've got Sam Mitchell, a basketball coach. You've got one of the best officials in the NBA for a long time. Eddie F. Rush, I believe, is from here. There's a lot of sport. Mark Immelman, whose brother won the Masters, Trevor Immelman, he's the coach over at Columbus State.
Yeah.
He's the golf coach. And
Larry Mize, who won the Masters, yeah.
So that's something that I think a lot of people don't realize. And we do our best to document the present, the here and now in Columbus.
Hoppy, you're the best. Give him a follow on Twitter at JAHop23. Tell Tom and I what's coming up for you over the next couple of days, and kind of let our listeners know a game plan for a WTVM News Leader 9 coverage this week, man.
So today at 6, hopefully 6 Eastern, hopefully I won't bash the Braves or bash the MLB for 2 minutes. That was basically half of my show last time.
Yeah.
But no, we'll be talking a little bit of Auburn tonight at 6 Eastern, hearing from Coach Harsin, touching up on a couple of other things as well. And then we're gearing up for high school playoffs in the area. So we'll have baseball. We had soccer. The Auburn High Lady Tigers were out at Smith Station, the soccer team. They've been doing really well. So we're trying to track as much of that as we can.
There you go.
And we know the baseball championships will be here. But my sister's actually getting married this weekend. So
how about that?
Yeah, how about it? So I'm going up to Charlotte on Wednesday night, and I'm taking my first vacation since I took the job. So I'll
Well deserved. That's a good reason to do that. I like that. Well, Hoppy, we appreciate the time today, and we look forward to having you back on the show sometime soon. Thank you for doing this, man.
All right.
Yeah. Tell old Dave Plata that Tom Peavy says hello.
Oh, I will. As soon as I see him, when he's back in the office getting ready, and I'm off this weekend, so he's got a long week ahead, but you know, he can handle it.
He's a hard worker, been doing it for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Hoppy, we appreciate the time. We'll talk again soon.
Bye.
That's Jonathan Hoppy, WTVM News Leader 9. He's joining us on our Auburn Bank phone line.